We read from the Holy Scriptures this morning two Psalms. First, Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And secondly, we will read the beloved 23rd Psalm. Our text this morning is from Psalm 23, the fourth verse. Psalm 91 has basically the same theme as our text. Verse 4 of Psalm 23, emphasizing God's care of His sheep, the safety and security that we have in Him. We hear the Word of God first in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Then we turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far, we read from God's infallibly inspired Word. As I said, our text this morning is found here in Psalm 23, verse 4. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, sheep need protection. At the outset, I would remind you that God created the animal, the sheep, as a picture of us, His people. Sheep, generally speaking, are quite defenseless animals, rather weak, very dependent, inclined to be stubborn, foolish. Our text for this morning brings back memories from my youth. Growing up on my father's farm in south central Iowa, near the Pella area, we had for several years of my childhood sheep on the farm, at times many, over 1,000. But from experience, I saw the protection, the care on a daily basis that sheep required. Sometimes they would endanger themselves. From time to time, a sheep would get stuck in the mud by the edge of a pond. From time to time, one would get its head stuck in the wire netting of the fence, trying to reach the supposedly greener grass on the other side. Predators were a danger. Stray dogs that were running together in a pack, or coyotes, were a threat to the safety of the sheep. Just a few years ago, our son, who lives in the Edmonton area, emailed a picture of a good-sized black bear that had been treed by the sheepdogs not far from the flock on the farm where our son's wife had grown up. Sheep need protection. And that's especially true of us. As the sheep of God's pasture, those who by grace belong to the Good Shepherd. Nearly 3,000 years ago, David, the young son of Jesse, cared for his father's flock in the hills surrounding Bethlehem. David encountered some rather frightening experiences in defense of his father's flock when he stood before King Saul prior to his encounter with the Philistine giant Goliath. David described his experiences. We read of that in 1 Samuel 17 from verse 34. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." History records numerous incidents of shepherds encountering wild animals or thieves, sometimes having to surrender their lives in defense of the flock. And the one difference between these stories and the promises given by the Great Shepherd is that our Lord cannot ever be overwhelmed by any enemy. And that's why David, in this beloved soul-strengthening verse, was able to find comfort, even though he knew well that there were many dangers ahead. From that point of view, we should notice that we see a change in this familiar psalm here at verse 4. Notice that up to this point, it seems that the sheep had been speaking to others of the excellent care it received from the shepherd. The psalmist confesses that Jehovah God is his shepherd, that he does not want, he has no lack. The shepherd makes him lie down in green pastures and leads him beside the still waters. All his needs are completely fulfilled. His shepherd leads and guides him in the way of everlasting righteousness. And in that way, his soul is restored from its unrest and misery, so that everything up to this point seems bliss. There's peace, there's joy, there's contentment. But now in verse 4, the psalmist begins, "Yea, though," or literally, "even though." David has pointed out that the Lord's protection and guidance are easily assumed when we're by the still waters, the waters of rest. But now he's emphasizing the fact that we may rejoice in Jehovah's leadership and protection, even though our journey takes us through the darkest and the most threatening experiences of life. And note, too, that we see this transition here in the psalm also from the fact that now the sheep speaks intimately to his shepherd. The personal pronouns, I and thou, enter the conversation. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, our shepherd guides and protects us, and we find comfort in Jehovah, the God of our salvation. It's in this light that we consider our text this morning under the theme, Protected by Our Shepherd. And we notice, first of all, our need for protection, and secondly, our comfort in Jehovah. Both in the land of Palestine, as well as on the larger western sheep ranches here in the United States, as well as in western Canada, most of the efficient sheepmen endeavor to take their flocks onto distant, rich mountain pastures during the summer months. That often entails quite a lengthy journey, and it can often be a rather difficult and even dangerous journey. The hill country of Judah is broken up by narrow and precipitous valleys or ravines through which one must go in order to get to the good pasture. And those valleys abound with caves and dens, which provide perfect hiding places for both wild beasts as well as robbers. There were dangers of flash flood, avalanche, poisonous plants, terrible storms. This all makes plain what the psalmist means when he speaks of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's important that we understand that the psalmist is not speaking only about the day of our death. Our text is often limited to that. Certainly, this is a very comforting word of God at the time of the loss of a loved one. But it's not so that in the previous verses we see that the wants and needs of our present life are taken care of, and that now our text concerns only our death, that even then our shepherd will take care of us. Now that's true, of course, but our text means much more than that. Not only is he with me when I will make that final journey, when I'm on my deathbed, but he is with me throughout all my life here on earth. And it's this latter that's on the foreground, even. The point is, all through our earthly life, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Think about it. All of Scripture teaches that we lie in the midst of death, that we die every day, that we carry about with us the body of this death. David is not merely referring to our physical death, but to all the dark and bitter experiences of our lives. And notice, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The text does not say that we stop there or that we die there, but rather, I walk through. And our walk is our whole life, our whole pilgrim journey in the midst of this world. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice that expression, the shadow of death. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of this in his prophecy in chapter 2, verse 6. We read there, "Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought," and, notice now, "of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt." The psalmist uses it again in Psalm 44, verse 19, where we read, "Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death." So the sense of this expression is plainly a blend of imminent danger and possible death. Now there are those who try to make light of these dark experiences. After all, they say, the text speaks only of the shadow of death. And it's been said that only fools and young children are afraid of shadows. After all, the shadow of a sword can't cut. The shadow of a dog won't bite. But be not deceived. One who has actually walked through the valleys would not utter such foolishness. For where there is a shadow, there is a corresponding reality. And if I should see the shadow of a large dog with its teeth bared coming toward me, I would not remain still and at ease merely because I could not yet see the dog itself. Common sense would tell me that that shadow was being produced by something, and my suspicion would be that it was an actual dog, perhaps about to attack. From this point of view, beloved, it's very dangerous and foolish to make light of the dangers and adversities that we encounter in life. Of course, that's true spiritually. Satan, that roaring lion who walks about seeking who he might devour, is a deadly enemy. Make no mistake. And the whole world of unbelief sets itself against us on every side. And we have daily to strive against our own sinful nature. That nature that would carry us as close to the danger as possible. Spiritually, the dangers are very real. And I don't have to persuade you that the adversities of our life are real. The afflictions and diseases, the sorrows, the hardships and adversities that we face along our pilgrim way, we know they're real. They can be a heavy burden upon us. We're inclined to ask, why? Why do we have to walk this path, this frightening way through the valley of the shadow of death? Oh, there are some who proclaim a gospel of prosperity, health, wealth, success. The Christian life they portray as a bed of roses. Be not deceived. We know better. Why? Why need we bear such heavy burdens? Why need we face such affliction and suffering, such sorrow, emotional, spiritual struggles at times, infirmities of age, death itself, trials and tribulations? Of course, our earthly feeble minds cannot fully comprehend the reasons why, while we are still on this side of the grave. But we are assured in God's Word that it is for our good. These things prepare us for our place in glory. They are to strengthen our faith in God and draw us nearer and closer to our Shepherd. They are to make us realize our dependence upon Him. But it really all comes down to the fact that our all-wise, all-knowing God, our faithful Shepherd, knows that this is the best way for our sakes. And ultimately unto His glory. That's true with respect to the animal, sheep as well. The shepherd knows that the best route to the lush mountain grass is through the valleys. The valleys have the gentlest grades. The valleys are also where there will be springs and streams and pools of water to drink. Also, the richest grass, the best forage are to be found along that route. Through the ravines, the canyons, the valleys, the shepherd slowly but surely takes his flock. Yes, he's aware that there are dangers there. Predators, coyotes, bears, wolves, cougars could take cover in the surrounding rocky cliffs. As we've noted, the valleys and canyons could be subject to sudden storms, flash floods and the like. But in spite of such hazards, the shepherd also knows that this is still the best way to take his flock. And in this connection, I would remind you of another characteristic of sheep. In addition to being a rather weak and helpless animal, sheep are inclined to give up very easily. Very little courage or persistence. When they experience hardship or affliction or danger or stress, oftentimes they simply give up and die. And beloved, that's our nature too. Think about it, how easily we can become upset, shaken up, frightened, panicked by the adversities and dangers of life when those dark shadows sweep over us and the path we tread looks gloomy. We can be inclined to go into a slump of despair. We can almost be overwhelmed by a spiritual pessimism. Sometimes we just feel like giving up. But we must understand that David did not speak of the valley of the shadow of death to strike fear into our hearts or to discourage us. But rather, he spoke of this to remind us that our safety and security are found in our Shepherd. God never promises immunity from the afflictions, the sufferings, the adversities, the sorrows of this present time. But He does promise immunity. His people the grace to endure and to overcome it. Think of the beautiful testimony of Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 and 10. That's the context of Paul speaking of that thorn in the flesh that troubled him so. On account of it, he besought the Lord repeatedly that it would be taken from him. His testimony was the answer to his petition. And he, that is the Lord, said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And how did Paul respond? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yea, we all travel through the shadow of death. The Good Shepherd Himself assures us that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so the basic question is not whether the valley is dark or merely dim with the shadow of death. The question is, how do we get through it? How do we cope with the hardships, sometimes even calamities that shall come our way? And the grand testimony of David, in light of all the potential danger, was, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Notice carefully, he did not say, I will encounter no evil. Such a statement would have been contrary to his own experience as well as to the teaching of God's Word. David did not derive comfort from the weakness of the enemy. He didn't minimize the dangers. He did not derive comfort from his own inherent strength. I can handle these dangers, these enemies. No, he was comforted by the fact that his shepherd was with him. And centrally, he is with us in his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. One of his beautiful names is Emmanuel, God with us. And the Good Shepherd has told us, Lo, I am with you always. And when we fully, or as much as is possible on this earth, understand the importance of the doctrines of God's omnipresence, that He is everywhere present, and His omnipotence, that He is almighty, and His faithfulness, there's always a sense of confidence and comfort and peace. These lofty truths are not included in the Psalms to merely round out theological viewpoints. They are there and all through the Scriptures to strengthen the faith of God's people, to remove fear, to bring comfort. Just think for a moment what it means to say with respect to our Shepherd, For thou art with me. One commentator gave a good illustration of the significance of this. He had been excavating ancient tombs at biblical Heshbon, and he had the opportunity to observe a rather large, dark cave at the bottom of a certain ravine. And he had entered the cave with a light and a large stick, and he had probed its corners for snakes or scorpions, any possible dangers, and he determined that the cave was perfectly safe. And when a young boy from a nearby village came to watch his work, the man invited the boy to come with him into the cave. But the young lad refused to enter, noting the darkness before him, the uncertainty of the situation. The man encouraged the boy and reminded him that he had already been in the cave, that there were no dangers present, but nothing would change the boy's mind. But pretty soon, the boy's father came by, and looking at the cave, he said to his son, "Let's go inside and examine the work." And to the man's amazement, the boy took his father's hand and walked right into the cave without blinking an eye. He later asked the boy why he had changed his mind, and he simply said, "My father's here. I'm not afraid to enter the cave." And beloved, that's precisely the sentiment of our text. We need not fear because our Father's here. Our Shepherd, Jehovah God, is with us. And the presence of the Lord has provided encouragement for the saints down through the ages. When Jacob was at Bethel, the Lord promised, "I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." As Joshua stood on the east bank of the Jordan River, ready to lead that great throng of the children of Israel into the promised land of Canaan, the Lord strengthened him with these words, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." When the Lord Jesus commissioned his disciples, he encouraged them with the words, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And that makes all the difference, doesn't it? Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil. The presence of our Shepherd is a source of strength and courage unto us. Look back over your own life. Ponder how the Shepherd's hand has upheld you and sustained you, even in the darkest hours. Reflect on Father's faithfulness in every crisis, in every frightening circumstance of life. Has not His grace always been sufficient? Oh, it's not always easy. It can be a very difficult lesson to learn. Even Christ's own disciples had to learn that lesson. Think of their great fear when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee in that terrible storm with Jesus sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And Jesus calmed the storm and rebuked his disciples. "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" The disciples had to learn that with Jesus with them, they had no reason to fear any of the storms of life that they would encounter. And we have to learn that too. Also as congregation. Also as churches. Storms. Our Lord Jesus is with us. So, with us, as it is with sheep who may be attacked by predators or threatened by storms or frightened by the circumstances of life, by the darkness of the valley, we need not fear. Our shepherd is with us. So we're exhorted in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation, that is, your whole manner of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As a further explanation, and to further bolster our confidence, the psalmist adds the statement, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What's the idea here? What were the rod and the staff to which David referred? From the use of these words and our knowledge of Oriental shepherding, we can conclude that these refer to two distinct implements or tools. These are the common and the universal equipment of the ancient shepherd. A shepherd boy, from the time that he would first start tending his father's flock, would take special pride in the selection of a rod and a staff, exactly suited to his own size and strength. The rod in this context was a rather short, heavy stick or club, which was the main weapon of defense for the shepherd and his sheep. A shepherd who had become skilled with the use of the rod could swing it or even throw it with great accuracy. Nowadays, of course, the modern sheepman or shepherd has other means of defense. Rifle or shotgun. There are sheep dogs, some which live right with the flock 24/7. There can be guard llamas or donkeys that live with the flock to protect from predators. I can recall my father going out in late at night when he heard the sheep restless with his shotgun to check for coyotes or stray dogs that would be attacking the sheep. There were some years that predators took quite a heavy toll. The point is that the shepherd has a means of protection. With his rod, he keeps the flock safe. In addition, the rod was used in the shepherd's hand to examine and even count the sheep. The Old Testament refers to that in the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, as passing under the rod. And that meant not only coming under the shepherd's control and authority, but also to be subject to his most careful and intimate and firsthand examination. The staff, more than any other item of his personal equipment, identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. No one in any other profession or aspect of animal husbandry carries a shepherd's staff. It's uniquely an instrument used for the care and management of sheep. Only sheep. It will not do for working with cattle or horses or hogs. It's designed and shaped and adapted, especially with a view to the needs of sheep. The staff is essentially a symbol of the concern and the compassion that a shepherd has for his sheep. Whereas a rod conveyed the concept of authority and of power, of discipline, of defense against danger, the staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. As you may well know, the shepherd's staff is a rather long, slender rod or stick with a hook or crook on the top, one end. It was selected with great care by the owner, shaped and smoothed and cut to best suit his own personal use. In addition to leaning upon his staff for support and strength, the shepherd used his staff in the care of his flock. And skilled shepherds of old could, with their staff, pick up a newborn lamb that had become separated from its mother and set the lamb next to the mother. He would do that with his staff because a newborn lamb with the odor of human hands would sometimes be rejected by the mother. In the same way, the shepherd could use the staff to reach out and catch an individual sheep, young or old, and draw it close to examine it. The staff would also be used for guiding the sheep. With the staff, the shepherd could gently prod the sheep into a new path or through some gate or along a difficult route. With his staff, the shepherd could sometimes reach a sheep that had fallen into a hole or off the edge of a small cliff. So we see that the rod and the staff are the symbols of a well-prepared shepherd. They provide him a clear identity in light of Jehovah's sovereign power. The mere presence of the rod and the staff was enough to bring comfort to the psalmist. They symbolized the greatness of his shepherd. They confirmed his identity. They represented to him the protection, the care, the security he so desperately needed. Even as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he had comfort. Comfort. A belonging to our faithful Savior. Do you have that comfort? Belonging. Both in life and death, body and soul. To your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That comfort knowing that your good shepherd laid down his very life for you as a sheep of his pasture. That wonderful assurance that your shepherd is with you. That calm, quiet confidence in the knowledge that he is there. Always there, day by day, even moment by moment, even through the insignificant circumstances of our daily lives. But he is there to watch over us, to protect us, even from ourselves, to sustain us, to preserve us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there even to cause all things to work together for our good. That's comfort. The comfort that is ours with Jehovah as our shepherd. Then our way through the midst of this world is not so bad. Even looking ahead. And perhaps the future looks like a deep, dark cave. So many things that are not known. He is with us to guide us. Even unto death. From the moment of our birth to the moment of our death, our shepherd is with us. Never leaves us or forsakes us, not for a split second. And it's because that's true that nothing can be against us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. All things are for us, even death. Well, certainly death is horrible from every human point of view, often involving great suffering. And we know that death is the expression of the wrath of God against sin. Death is part of the curse. No wonder the apostle refers to death as the last enemy. But all that has been changed for his sheep. Death has been swallowed up in the victory of the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No longer is death the end, but death is the beginning of perfect joy and fellowship with our eternal God in glory. God will be our guide, our help. He will shepherd us even through the valley of the shadow of death, and through death, take us into the glory of His presence. Indeed, what the psalmist says is true. Even as we sing of it from Psalm 77, Thy way was in the sea, O God, through mighty waters deep and broad, none understood but God alone. To man Thy footsteps were unknown, but safe Thy people Thou didst keep, almighty shepherd of Thy sheep. Amen. Most merciful, gracious Heavenly Father, Thou the great shepherd of Thy sheep, we thank Thee for the comfort of Thy word. And we pray, Father, impress it upon our hearts and minds and our lives by Thy Spirit, that we may live from day to day, young and old, in that consciousness that Thou, our faithful shepherd, is with us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. Forgive our foolish doubts and fears and our waywardness as sheep. For Christ's sake, amen.